At the recent Matthew Shepard Symposium at the University of Wyoming, protesters gathered with signs denouncing the LGBTQ community. The group was from the Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, and nearly 20 years ago, they also picketed Matthew Shepard's funeral. But inside the symposium, a former Westboro Baptist Church member was preparing to speak. She was there to explain that when she started engaging in civil dialogue over Twitter, her entire worldview changed. Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards sat down with Megan Phelps Roper as part of her series, I Respectfully Disagree.
So I grew up at the Westboro Baptist Church, and one of the doctrines was that we celebrated death and tragedy as God's punishment on sinners who deserved every evil that befell them. And so when Matthew Shepard was killed, I was 12 years old, and my sister and I were rushed home from school because they were going to leave immediately to go and protest the funeral. And my sister, it was her turn to go to that protest. And I remember being very upset, not because of the murder, but because of the fact that it wasn't my turn to go and protest the funeral.
Phelps Roper was one of 10 children, and her grandfather established the church. From toddlers, the kids all attended rallies, waving signs that read things like, "Thank God for AIDS." Her mother managed a law office conducting church business, and Phelps Roper grew up to be her mother's assistant.
I was all in on everything that the church believed, all of their doctrines. I wasn't at Matthew Shepard's funeral, and I never protested the trial when my family went to protest the trial also. But I did participate in a lot of protests against the Matthew Shepard Foundation in Colorado, and then also productions of the Laramie Project at high schools and universities all across the country. I thought it was evil and wrong what they were doing, lionizing this person that, you know, was a sinner, who was an abominable sinner against God.
And so then something happened that kind of changed that. Can you talk about what happened next?
I was 23 when I got on Twitter. So I'd been picketing for almost, you know, coming up on 2 decades, and was a very strong believer. You know, consulting with, you know, a cousin and then my mom and a few other people took our message to Twitter. I just sent an attempt to reach more people and, you know, utilize this new technology as a way of propagating our message. And what ended up happening was that I was changed far more than anyone. I didn't change anybody else, I don't think. I certainly didn't bring anybody over to our way of thinking. But, so I started having conversations there. And they were different from the picket line in that on the picket line, like, you have very little time with people. There's a lot of hostility and animosity, and they're very short. So there's just no time to develop rapport. And also in physical space, there's this element of, like, physical danger as well. And so being online, being on Twitter, and having these, you know, ongoing kind of constant conversations with outsiders, I'm coming to see them as human beings. Because it's online, I'm also more vulnerable to their ideas because I feel safe. I shouldn't say more vulnerable to their ideas. Like, I mean, I just mean I was open to hearing them in a way that I was not in person.
You engaged in an actual dialogue.
There was
a sense of, like, you were being able to hear them and were maybe feeling heard as well.
Absolutely. Both sides of that. I mean, it's absolutely true. It's because they were asking questions and they're, again, trying to get to the root of our ideas and understand them. You know, I felt heard, and I also felt, because they were asking questions, I could ask them questions too. Because they took that time to understand Westboro's message, they were able to find contradictions in our ideas that I had never seen. Even when I was really trying, like on the picket line or especially like to journalists, I would spend so much time talking to people and really trying to get them to understand our way of thinking. And then I would see the articles come out, even when I had spent literally months talking to a reporter. And I would see the article and I'd be like, wow, they totally don't get it. And so Twitter, because it became a dialogue, like, they could understand me and I could understand them.
So, and then you formed some pretty personal relationships on Twitter as well.
That's true. One of them ended up becoming my husband. He's my favorite person.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. As soon as you mentioned this, like, I just start grinning ear to ear. I mentioned earlier about the emotional impact. Like, I had become desensitized to the emotional impact of what we were doing to other people. And my husband was one of those people who was really, because of the way he was engaging me and very kindly challenging me, to really think about what we were doing to other people and forcing me to look at something that I had long ignored. It was so terrible because I, you know, once I realized I had feelings for him, I had to totally cut off contact with him. I felt like, you know, it would be the end of the world. Like I couldn't leave. I was not going to go down this evil path. And it was more than a year after after I stopped speaking to him that I left the church.
Phelps Roper left with her younger sister, knowing they would never see their family again. Her mother's parting words were, "You know, you can always come back."
And how does it feel to be at the Matthew Shepherd Symposium?
I am so overwhelmed right now. The grace and the compassion that people have shown me. I was sitting, you know, yesterday before the event, and I was sitting down in the front row, and a gentleman sat next to me, and he told me his 71st birthday was last week, and wanted to tell me, "Welcome to Laramie," and that the shepherds had stayed with him during the trial, stayed at his house. Mm-hmm. And to hear the words, "Welcome to Laramie," it just is unreal. And then to know, come to understand who he was and to hear these incredibly kind things that he was saying and to hear him and other people describe the healing that they feel in having this conversation, it mirrors how I feel, but I'm so impossibly grateful. I'm so overwhelmed. I hardly have words and I feel so inarticulate, but I'm so glad and grateful to be here.
To hear Megan Phelps Roper's TED Talk about her life and her four guidelines for bridging divides, visit the Wyoming Public Media website. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Melody Edwards.